ग्रहाय आसो निवृत्तिर्इष्टा. Synonyms. Loki, in the material world. Yavaya, sex indulgence. Amisha, of meat. Madhya, and liquor. Seva, the taking. Nitya, always found. He indeed. Janto, in the condition living being. Not. He indeed. Chakra, in regard to them. Chodana, any command of scripture. Yavastati, prescribed arrangement. Teshu, in these. Vivaha, by sacred marriage. Yagya, the offering of sacrifice. Saragrahai, and the acceptance of ritual cups of wine. Asu, of these. Nivritti, cessation. Ishta, is the desired end. Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this material world, the conditioned soul is always inclined to sex, meat eating, and intoxication. Therefore, religious scriptures never actually encourage such activities. Although the scriptural injunctions provide for sex through sacred marriage, for meat eating through sacrificial offerings, for intoxication through the acceptance of ritual cups of wine, said ceremonies are meant for the ultimate purpose of renunciation. Purport. Those who are not situated in pure Krishna consciousness are always inclined toward material sense gratification in the form of illicit sex, meat eating, and intoxication. They simply desire a party life of eat, drink, and be merry. Such materialistic persons are unwilling to give up such temporary gratification because they are firmly bound up in the bodily concept of life. For such persons, there are numerous Vedic injunctions or rituals that bestow material sense pleasure in a regulated manner. The conditioned soul thereby becomes accustomed to indirectly worshipping the Supreme Lord by accepting the austerity of regulated sense gratification and obedience to the Vedic way of life. Through purification, the living entity gradually develops a higher taste and becomes directly attracted to the spiritual nature of the Lord. Sometimes, the fallen practitioners of the Karmakanda section of the Vedas assert that the material fruitive results of Vedic ceremonies should never be given up because they're prescribed by religious scriptures. For example, there's a Vedic injunction that at the proper season, a husband must approach his wife at night at least 5 days after her menstrual period. If the wife is properly bathed and cleansed herself, thus responsible householders should engage in religious sex life. The injunction that one must approach his wife for sex life is explained by the Vaishnava Acharyas as follows. Within the material world, almost every man is very lusty and desires passionate sex life with every attractive woman he meets, or with any woman at all. Actually, for an ordinary materialistic man, it's an accomplishment if he can restrict himself to relationships with his lawfully wedded wife. But because familiarity breeds contempt, the natural tendency is for the husband to gradually become envious of or resentful of the wife and desire illicit connections with other women. Such a mentality is most simple and abominable, and the Vedic scripture therefore orders that one must approach his actual wife with the desire to beget children, and thus curtail the tendency towards illicit sexual connection with other women. Where there are no such Vedic injunction for ordering one to approach his wife, many women would naturally be inclined to neglect their wives and pollute other women by illicit connection, which is actually what goes on nowadays. and both parties are cheating each other. However, such an injunction for conditioned souls does not apply to great souls who are fixed on the spiritual platform and are transcendental to material sex desire. Stated in this verse, Nibbana Ishta, the actual purpose of the Vedic church is to bring one back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. It's clearly stated by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Yam Yangabhismanamabhavachatyante Kalevaram. Whatever we think of at the time of death will determine our next body. Bhagavad Gita 8.5. If one remembers Krishna, he is immediately transferred to the eternal planet of Krishna. Therefore, since all the Vedic scriptures are meant for knowing Krishna, Vedic Chazanavar Ahameva Vedya, the ultimate goal of the Vedas cannot be any type of absorption in the material senses, either listen or illicit. The Vedic regulations governing married sex life are actually meant to prevent sinful illicit sex life. However, one should not foolishly conclude that a lusty attraction to his wife's naked body is the perfection of self-realization and Vedic elevation. The actual perfection of spiritual life is to become free from all material desires, nibbana, and fix the mind on Krishna. Similarly, there are other injunctions governing the regulated consumption of liquor and meat. Those who are mad after meat eating are instructed to perform Vedic ceremonies by which they are permitted to consume five types of five clawed animals, namely the rhinoceros, the turtle, the rabbit, the porcupine, and the lizard. Simply, the consumption of specific liquors is allowed during highly restricted sacrifices performed on specific days of the year at great expense. In this way, other types of drunkenness and cruel animal slaughter are prohibited. One is gradually purified by performing such sacrifices, and it develops a distaste for such foolish activities as meat eating and the drinking of liquor. The Vedic rules and regulations that gradually restrict sense gratification are called vidhi. The word niyama refers to injunctions governing activities that human beings ordinarily would not be inclined to perform. For example, it is said, ahar, sandhyam upasita. One should chant Gayatri Mantra at the three junctions of the day, every day. It's also stated, Mahasnanam Prakodavita. One must take bath daily, even in the coldest months of winter. Such injunctions describe activities that ordinarily would be neglected. Although it has been mentioned above that there are injunctions against neglecting one's lawful wife, there are no injunctions against totally neglecting meat eating. In other words, killing of animals is considered most abominable. And although concession is made for the more violent class of men, one should actually completely give up this cruel activity, because even a slight discrepancy in animal sacrifices causes havoc in one's life. It should be understood that those who become spiritually advanced by chanting Hare Krishna mantra and the guidance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expected to completely give up material sense gratification. If a devotee of Krishna duplicity tries to take advantage of the scriptural allowances for meat eating, intoxication, and sex enjoyment, he commits a tenth offense against the chanting, especially one who has accepted the renounced order of life called Tridani Sannyas. It's most abominable and reprehensible to become attracted to the Vedic injunctions prescribing regulated sex out for households. According to Jiva Goswami, there's no such allowance for one in the renounced order of life. The Vaishnava Sannyasi should not foolishly become bewildered by statements in the Vedic literatures, such as the following verse from the Manushmriti. Namamsha Bhakshane Thosho Namadye Nachamai Tune Pravittere Esabhutanam Nivritteshtu Mahapala. Prabhupada used to quote the second part of that shloka. Pravittere Esabhutanam Nivritteshtu Mahapala. So here's the whole verse from Manushmriti. Namamsha Bhakshane Dosho Namadye Nachamai Tune Quote, it may be considered that meat eating, intoxication, and sex indulgence are natural propensities of the conditioned souls. Therefore, such persons should not be condemned for these activities. But unless one gives up such sinful activities, there's no possibility of achieving the actual perfection of life. End quote. In the Kriya Vidhana, it's explained that sex is permitted only during the Vamadeva sacrifice, or the Garbhadhan Samskar for begetting a religious child. It's also stated sometimes certain types of meat are used in worshipping Lord Hari through sacrifices to the forefathers and demigods. Similarly, there's a form of intoxication available for drinking of soma beverage. But if a so-called Brahmin becomes attracted to such offerings, he immediately becomes polluted. Actually, Brahmins who perform such offerings would not personally accept any type of liquor or meat These things would be consumed by the Kshatriyas, who were not considered at fault for accepting such kinds of sacrifice. However, in the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it can be observed that those who desire to become advanced devotees of Krishna immediately give up all such fruit and sacrifices. There's no scope in pure devotional service for any type of fruit and sacrifices. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demanded that all of his sincere followers engage 24 hours a day in Shravana Kirtana Vishnu, hearing and chanting the glories of the personality of God. Those who claim to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and those who are seriously planning on going back to Godhead in the near future should not become mindlessly attracted by Vedic fruit of rituals that are meant to attract those who are hopelessly bound up in the material bodily conception of life. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always remain aloof from such tainted rituals. End of the purport. Long purport, but very good. Vrindavane Ramayati Prasid Bhumo Tatravi Krishna Bhavarama Subharamulay Nanamparam Paramai Krishna Sadharam Chuktam Dandasta Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samasara Dukha Jaladau Patitasya Kama Kodari Nakrama Kurai Kavali Kutasya Duravashana Nigaditasya Narasraya Sichaitanya Chandra Mamatehe Padavalambam Jaladana Shashivarno Kogavesh Kishoro Saha Charagana Vrindai Pidamana Vijay Show Nitabara Jitabay Show Diva Pita Maradyo Jagadajanana Hei To Ramakrishnana To Sleep Manja Kalpataru Vishcha Kripa Sadhuve Vachapadidana Bhavani Vyo Vishnade Vyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse is very famous in this section. We should not expect anything different from Narada Muni, because we already have Narada Muni's views on these subjects in other ways in the 7th canto, where he describes the four orders of life, Varnashrama Dharma, the activity of the perfect person, then the activity of the brahmacharas, the activities of the householders in chapter 14, and what happens if you break any of those varnas in the 15th chapter. So, his views are quite well elaborated. So this is another elaboration when Vasudeva asked him personal questions. And because Srila Vyasadeva sometimes reiterates points to drive in our dull brains, so he reiterates the points again in another format, in another Sanskrit, which gives kavis, poets, time to reflect on different permutations of the same instruction. They simply underline the validity of the instruction. The more pramana you can flow through your brain in different paradigms help you to understand that I don't have an excuse. I have to accept this. It's mandatory. So the point is pramana. Logic, which is called anumana. Mana is mind or opinion. And anu is following. So it follows what? It follows the Sanskrit pramana. You have to get Sanskrit pramana, the Bengali pramana, and also logic anumana will follow guru pramana and sadhu pramana, which were basically supporting and underlining shastra pramana. Therefore, Gita says in the last shloka of chapter 16, where, because the chapter is Sura Asura Vibhava, divine and demonic natures. So Krishna says, Tasmat Shastra Pramanam Te Karya Akarya Vyavastati Gyata Shastra Vadanuktu Karma Kartumi Harasi. One should learn to discriminate what should be done and what should not be done by following the Shastra injunctions, understanding that you should act so that you may be elevated. You deserve, arhasi, you deserve to act in that way. Deserve means who deserves? The human being. Now, this loka, locate, bhavayamisha, locate means the public. Locate means the world, worldly-minded people. Locate. Locate, bhavayamisha, they're attached to sense enjoyment. Devas, sex, amisha, meat eating, madhya seva, serving liquor. Nityasva jantu, everywhere you see. Jantu means conditioned soul, jantu means animal. Dvipadpashu, two-legged animal. Anywhere you see, you'll see these two-legged animals doing that. So this is a very famous line. Prabhupada quotes that part up a lot. Loke vayami samadhya seva nityastu tantur. Nahi tatra chodana. But even though there is Vedic injunctions regulating it, chodana means it's not pushing you in that direction. They're not impelling you. They're not asking you to do it. Nahi tatra chodana. Not there are they encouraging. Because then it gives the point. Vyava astita. Stita means at the time and proper place. Stita, at the proper place. So sex is done at the proper place and time. When the wife is fertile and they want children. But as you know, it's not cheap. You know, Kali Yuga. Previously, children, when they had a joint family situation, living in rural and agricultural thing, kids were extra laborers. So kids were not a problem. You had your aunties, your uncles, your grandmother, your grandfather. You had 30 people in one house. Wouldn't speak of the neighbors. They were extra. And they helped you with your kids. So kids were not a problem. You had every household had, you know, 5, 6, 8 kids. And the ladies didn't have a problem because the elder children took care of the younger children. So the mother didn't have a problem. Sure, we can have as many kids as we want. So the idea that the husband would approach his wife, you know, and they even agreed up to 1956, they even agreed, polygamy was there, that a man was so passionate that he wanted to have connection with many women. So all right, they would allow you to marry more. That generally in the facility there was more females in the population than males. Therefore, to give them shelter, polygamy was allowed. If a man is a big zamindar, big landowner, if he has sufficient cows, grains, and money to facilitate them, to give them all equal houses, etc., etc., then, or equal facility, just separate rooms within the same big, huge house, like that, then you could have more than one wife. And in Bengali culture, just like Nityananda Prabhu, you know, his father-in-law, Suryadas Sarakela, Gauridas Pandit's brother, they live in the same village of Ambikakulna, not far from Mayapur. So both the daughters of Suryadas were accepted by Nityananda. Very typical Bengali culture. He said both girls were very attached to each other, the sisters were attached to each other. Give them to one fellow. And they would get married to both at the same time. Now, sometimes there was competition in Indian culture between the two sisters over the favors of the husband. Just like there was competition between the queens of Dwarka for Krishna's attention. But generally, Krishna kept that under wraps by expanding himself to 16,108 Krishnas, so that each queen could have her husband to her heart's satisfaction. And they would each personally serve Lord Krishna. And Narada Muni saw, that was Krishna dealing with his household life. So he went and saw with his own eyes. So, we can't do that. Result is, although the Kshatriyas were allowed to marry, example in the Bhagavatam in the sixth canto, generally Rajas need a child. Putra arte, for the benefit of the child, kriyate bharya, therefore you will make a wife. Bharya means wife. Kriyate, to do, to accept a wife. Putra vidam prayojanam, for the purpose of getting a child. Putrayate iti putra, a child that will deliver the parents from darkness, from hellish life. Putra vidam, a child will perform offerings of sacrifices after the departure of his parents. It's called Pindadan, Tarpan. They would do Shraddha ceremonies. The annual Shraddha, which is once a year, and the Nimitta, you know, is during when that Nakshatra comes again, roughly every month, they would do that. And if you don't, Garuda Purana says, your ancestor becomes not just a Pratya, not just an Anubodhi, but they become Jamaduta. Now, reflecting, nobody does that in Kali Yuga. They're all Agyanis, so nobody does Pitra, Putra, Tarpa. Nobody does Shraddha. They must have too many Yamadutas that could get a job. They're all unemployed. You know, what are you going to do? Export them to other universes? There must be too many Yamadutas and they must be having a difficulty getting a job. You know, sorry, no vacancy, you know. So they have to go to another universe? I don't know. But that's what Guru Purana says. If you don't do Shraddha Tarpan, your ancestor becomes a Chamaduta. That's what they do. They become so angry and they'll torment everybody else. You know, their anger will torment everybody else because their kid didn't do his job. So, and if they're not, then they're not Putra. Then Chanakya says, they're Mudra. They're the urine of their father. Because a son and urine come out of the same organ of the body. Take it soberly. So, that's the sadhus. That's the basically thing. So, it's a big responsibility. Now, the idea of it is, as Sridhananda Maharaj nicely mentioned here, that the idea was, is because men would be very considered very lusty, there would have the attraction. Because the material nature has so made the female form to attract men's minds. The name in Sanskrit is called Pramadana. She drives people mad. with her ways, with her beauty, etc., etc., they actually drive them mad. But the converse is also true. The converse is also true. Therefore, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada says, Juvati no, yatam yuni, just like a young girl is attracted to a young boy. Yunam cha, yavatok yata, and a young boy is attracted to a young girl. Mano vinamate tatvam, let my mind be attracted to, and their minds are attracted to each other. Mama eva ramatvam twai, may my mind take pleasure in you alone. So, mano ramati, the mind has got to take pleasure somewhere. You have to have some activity with the senses. Therefore, yena tena prakarena manakrishna niveshayet, somehow this way or that way, thank you Krishna. And then, because Krishna is ultimately is bhokta, he is the enjoyer, and he's bharta, and he's the maintainer. He's bhokta and he's bharta. He maintains and he's enjoyer. So, we are jantu, we are living entities, some are jantus, vipat pashus. Humble Vaishnavas say, a pashu, just like Narottam Thakur Mahashaya was lamenting in one bhajan, but Bhaktidas Bhavati Mahasaya, he would take the Bengali and twist it. Bhajan says, say pashu bharaturachar, say, but he would drop the sa. So it became, a pashu bharaturachar. He would say, this animal is a big rascal, Bhaktidas would say. You know, it just means that the Vaishnava is calling himself an animal. Not surprising, kavis do that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Ami Narapasu Prai. I am simply a human animal. And he describes a very humble bhajan in Kalyan Kalpataru. It's very, very good also for keeping oneself humble. One should not become proud that one is in the company of devotees and they pick you up and guide you some service. No. We must always remember that before I met the devotees, I was like everybody else, running along the will of the wisp, engaging in sense gratification, not knowing anything else. Prahlada Maharaja says it very eloquently, that, my dear Lord Nrsingha, I was very fallen in material existence, and I was running behind material enjoyment, following the general populace. But my Gurudev, he took compassion upon me, and he picked me up and showed me how to engage in this process of serving your lotus feet. Therefore, my first business is to serve you. Prahlada Maharaja says, follow the general public. Loke, babaya amisha. Loke, the public is generally interested in babaya, illicit sexual connection. We have Madison advertising. You know, Everything is sold with some sense object, either a handsome boy model or a handsome girl model, you know. But human beings are not like that, the general class of people. You know, the girls and the boys are not like that. Prabhupada would describe that the so-called beauty contests, you know, like this, that are in the material world that we know, huh? They're nothing. He said the girls in the heavenly planet Swarga, their fragrance goes for kilometers. Their beauty of their form would bewitch even sages. There are pramadas, Purana stories. How one sage, I think it was Gotobuni, was meditating at Badrinath area. I think it was the Gangotri. And there was a Ansara, heavenly courtesan, they say, referred to her, named Kritachi. And she was cavorting on the banks of the Ganga there at Gangotri. And the wind came along and blew away her cloth, as it states, you know. The wind must be pretty heavy up there because it's mostly rocks. You know, there's not a lot of trees to break the wind. So the wind came, blew her cloth, and the sage went, boing! You know, the head he got attracted to it, make it beauty, and he dropped the seed. Now, when semen is produced out of the body, involuntarily like that, then, like the description about Lord Shiva running after Mohini Murthy, then immediately, the lust is broken when the seven is gone. But then again, so is your determination. Then again, so is your shining of your form. Then again, so is your mind control, sense control. There's a lot of things that go with that vital fluid. And along with a lot of energy, teja. So, Shiva was embarrassed. And he was said, wow, my wife Parvati could touch my linga. And I was not agitated, but here Mohini Murthy has defeated me. So just how powerful is Lord Vishnu? So he offered obeisance to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu was so pleased with Shiva for saying that he gave him so much. It's just another proof how Vishnu was superior to Lord Shiva. That he conquered him, brought him under control, and Lord Shiva understood that my power, my potency is nothing. Brahmaji says, in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, at the very end, after offering his prayers to Gopala, he said, many people may say that they really know you, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't know you at all. Therefore, let me just simply offer you my respectful obeisances again and again, and pray that I will not become proud in rendering you service. So Brahmaji says it, Shiva says it, when the devotees of Brihadbhagavatamrita are going, Gopa Kumar is going from one planetary system to the other. And each planetary system, the devotee goes, nah, I didn't get any mercy from Krishna, I'm not a great devotee, and neither did I get Krishna's mercy, but if you go to this devotee, they're really good. They've got Krishna's mercy. So taking the cue from that devotee, you would go to the next devotee and go, oh, you're so great, you're so wonderful, wow. And that devotee, that's like poison to their ears. So when he went to, after he met Brahmaji, Brahmaji said, I'm an Avarati. I took Krishna's coward boy friends and I took the calf and I put them in the cave and like that. So I'm not great. Go to Shiva. He's great. He's Mahadev. He's really great. So Gopal Kumar goes to Kailash, the last land before you hit the river boundary between the material world and the spiritual world, which is the river Vaitarani. Viroja, excuse me. Vaitarani is the river in the lower planetary system before you hit Pitraloka, where Yama is. It's very ugly, polluted, and disgusting river. And if you haven't given cows in charity, if you've given cows in charity of a boat that takes you across, and if you didn't, you're dragged through that goo, you know, and you drink some of the poop. And this is described in Guru Purana. Like I told you, it's very gripping, scary story. You want to be scared to death, read that book. It's good. It takes you 4 hours. Garudparana Sarodhar and Devanagari in English by India Bookhouse. Difficult. I couldn't even get it in Delhi recently. I bought 10-15 copies for 200 rupees a shot, you know, 5 years ago. Now you can't even get it for love or money. I'm just waiting to scan mine and pass it out again to the devotees.
So, Vaidyarani is the lower plane of the existence just before Pitraloka, Yamaloka. And Viroja is the river, which is actually a gopi that was cursed by Radha to do that seva. And that is between the material world and the Vaikuntha. So it's a better river, undoubtedly. And so when the Gopakumar went to Shiva Loka and saw Shambhu and offered him obeisances and glorified him, Lord of the universe, control of the material energy, Shiva thought it was like poison to his ears. And he said, Nabi Jagadishoham, I am not the controller of this universe. Nabi Krishna Kripaspadam, neither have I attained Krishna's mercy. But I am the servant of the servant of those who are eagerly greedy for the mercy of his lotus feet. What a brilliant shloka. It shows, it's wonderful, it shows Lord Shiva's humility and it shows his mood of what he does as a Vaishnava. I am the supreme servant of those who are intensely greedy. Sahanugraha Kamuka, or very greedy for his service. So that's Lord Shiva. But still, Loke Balaya. They want sex. Therefore, in the Narayan Kavach statement, prayers given by Vishwarupa in the sixth canto. If you want strong sex desire, you would worship Indra, because amongst the demigods, besides his prowess on the battlefield against the demons, he was very licentious. And Mahabharata and other itihasas describe Indra's licentiousness. If anybody wanted to corrupt the rules, it was Indra. And he was really good at it. So, he did his job good. So, among lusty men, Indra was good. So if you want to have good sex life, worship Indra. It's stated. Then if you want, you know, strength, then you would worship Vayu. You know, Bhimasen was the strong Pandava, he was the son of Vayu. Hanumanji was also, for Ramchandra Lila, was Vayaputra, son of the wind. So for strength, Vayu, right? And different things. Health, it's Surya, and the Ashwini Kumaras, etc., 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 whatever you want. If you want a good wife, you worship Shiva. If you want a good husband, you worship Devi, his wife, etc., etc. But kamas-tas-tavadad-gyana-prapadyante-anya-devata, those whose mind is corrupted by material desires worship the demigods. And in 9th chapter of Gita, the famous, I think it's 9:23, famous, Antava Trubamantesha. Amongst those demigods, the fruits are very temporary. Antava, they'll be finished after the detonation of this body. Why should you ask a rich man for a couple of bucks? It doesn't work. You go to a big rich man, you ask him for a couple of dollars. If you have $1 billion, Prabhupada said, you solve all your $1 bills, your $1 debts. So, why approach God, or, you know, or like this, and ask him for something normal, like their material problems? But he may warn that, but devotees generally don't bother. The verse is famous from 5th canto, chapter 19, verse number 26. Satam tishat yartatam, could be 27, no harm. Satam deshat arthatam arthatam rino. Naivartato ya pura arthata yata. Svayam vidate bhagavan nishatam ichapidanam nijapada balabam. If a devotee approaches the Supreme Lord with some desire in their heart, the Lord, taking into account the necessities of the devotee, may award the devotee the result of his desire. But he does not do so, so that the devotee may come again with another list, another laundry list. Well, you gave that, you might as well give this too, right? A big laundry list, you know. But he awards the shade of his lotus feet an ishtata, even though the jiva did not ask for them. And therefore, by the shade of that lotus feet, they become fully satisfied and give up their material desires. Ichabhidana nidapada pallavam. Beautiful verse. So Krishna is chatur. But still, so sometimes he may award you. I was reading at the end of this Tulsi Sabha, somebody put a verse, a prayer to Tulsi Rani, that Shriyam Dehi, give me beauty. Yashod Dehi, give me fame. Putra Dehi, give me a child, a son. Yashashani, oh you who are as over greatly famous. She's very famous and she awards fame. Balam, strength, tushti, satisfaction. Tatha dharma, and religiosity. Tulsi, come to see the man. Oh, Tulsi, if you are pleased by me, you know, be pleased with me. So, if she is pleased, she can award those things. Not a big deal for Krishna's wife to give you some small time, small things, you know. But this is tatasta. What does she really give? Bhava-rova-livartati. Or bhakti-chaitanya-karanam. The source of all devotion. Bhakti-dosha-hanta. Destroying devotees' faults. Another one of her statements from the Tulsi Sabha was, dusvapna-ashanartaya. She destroys bad dreams. That means puddles, madmen, people that are ghostly hunted, can go underneath their shade. Well, we can say, you know, well, all of us are more or less mad. We came in the material world. Prabhu was in that funny story that he was in Allahabad High Court. Some Indian doctor caught his domestic servant having an affair with his wife. So he got so angry, you know, that he administered chloroform on that domestic servant and chopped him up. So killed him, chopped him up with a scalpel. Then they were trying to pack his body in a box and take it away for disposal when a few drops of blood came out and hit the pavement and a bobby, a British policeman, came and what's in the box and arrested the guy. So, and the guy got a British barrister, a British lawyer, to fight the cases. And so the British barrister's tactic was going to defend this doctor, rich man, on getting released on plea of insanity. His mind was not in a proper state of mind when he committed the murder and therefore he was released. The judge said, let's call a shrink, a psychiatrist, to see if the man is actually insane or not. The shrink examined it and said, well, Your Honor, if you like, if you choose to, you could pardon this man. But as far as my analysis is, everybody is more or less crazy. So Prabhupada was commenting on it. That everyone in this material world is simply better than some, worse than others. Everyone is more or less a god. The only question is how much. How many little screws do you got? Everybody is more or less a god, How many screws are loose? That's all. Some have more than screws, some have less than screws. That's all. So a Vaishnava is very humble. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Babaji knows, a Parshupada Gunachara, this animal is a big rascal. So if you consider yourself always to be a big rascal, then it means I am not accepted. I should definitely follow the rules and regulations for uplifted. That's the idea. So sometimes devotees think that we're transcendental, right? We can marry anybody we like. But Islam has got a very high divorce rate. Higher than the karmas. We should be very, very careful. He likes Krishna. She likes Krishna. Doesn't mean they're going to like each other. So, therefore, be very, very careful. That's the idea of this thing. And the tendency was that you have to approach your wife at a proper time. When you both want a child, it has to be religious. I asked one of my godbrothers, who is very close to me. See him, good book distributor, good leader. He's the temple president of one temple in America. for, you know, 20 plus years. Simple little, small little town temple. Him and his wife, couple kids. You know, and they preach and they do outreach, and you know, like most Americans, they come on the weekends and drop in the day and the weekday when they can. I asked him straight. All right, you're a lot of Preston now, your kids are grown. Tell me, in your household life, were you ever satisfied with your desires? I didn't need to intensify that push. I just said, were you satisfied in your married life with your good wife? Were your desires satisfied? Whose desires is ever satisfied in this world? He said, my wife kept me quiet. My wife was Darwin. She just wanted, you know, I could approach her only if we both wanted a child. When we had two children, that was it. My desires might have been more, but what could I do? My wife said no. He said, my wife said no. And that was it. And I just said, ooh, you know. That's it. You have to pay the bills and you have to be celibate too. You know, it's the old story. You have a Sunday feast and you can't eat. You know? You still have to pay for the Sunday feast. You have to provide the Sunday feast. But you can't eat the Sunday feast. It's like that. So that's how it was. You're forced to control the mind and senses because you're forced to live a dharmic life if you want liberation. I mean, that's external. That's just to be an external devotee. Still on the bodily conception of life. It's the minimum. If you want, you must go atiti. You must go beyond that. What is that? Jigara Sarupani Nityara Krishnadas. Huh? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that in Charanagati, that Dharaputta needs a Deho Kutumba Palani. That how do I get my wife, my children married? You know, I'm always thinking like that. Ebi Atma Samarpani Chantanayar, to me Nirvahi Prabhu Samsara Tumar. That now that I surrender to you, I have no anxiety. Certainly, my dear Lord, you will maintain my household life. If I have any attachment, Bhaktivinoda there says there, to my wife or family, it's because they are yours. I'm simply holding on to the keys of your flat. Everything is offered to Krishna. Everything, and Krishna is the proprietor. Then we see Gaurav Shurdas Babaji Mahasaya said the same thing. When some devotee came to him, Babaji Mahasaya, I'm newly married. Give me some advice. Oh, you're newly married. Very good. You have Shaligram? All households have Shaligram. Right? He had Shaligram, they were worshipping. Then, when you offer Boga to your Shaligram, the Prasad, you should offer to your Priya, your wife. Considering her to be a dear one to Krishna. In Bengali culture, it was the other way around. You know, the man would eat the prasada from the Lord and leave half for his dependents, his children, his wife. The wife would put more things on the plate and would finish it off. And then put more on the plate and would be given to the children, etc., etc. The children would eat last. That forced the parents to control their senses because the kids eat a lot. You got to give them a lot. So it forced the parents to cut back. You know, the father had to be conscious of his wife, her needs, had to be conscious of his children. Therefore, they cut back their eating to reasonable levels. Or you cook enough, or you provide enough. That was the Indian culture. So Gaurav Kishore like tipped the guy's mind, you know, upside down. They say, sure, when the food is offered to the Shaligram Bhagavan, you give it to the prasad to your wife, and you take her remnants, understanding to be dear to Krishna. The idea of this is to destroy the proprietorship attitude. This is my possession, my wife. No, my wife's body belongs to Krishna. She dresses for Krishna. She serves Krishna, and I work with her in the household life to love Krishna. I met one Vaishnava Brahmana in Jatipur who was worshipping it was a cook making sweets in that Pushpi Margi temple there, the Radha Madan Mohan temple there. And he does probably 10 hours a day cooking sweets, those heavy Pushpi Margi sweets, you know, that are cooked in tons of ghee, hard as a brick, tons of sugar, you know, about an inch of sugar on either side of the pudding, you know, and they will last you for 2 years. You know, they take it home to your house, break it up into little, tiny, tiny, little minuscule crumbs, pass it out to your friends, and eat a small portion every day. You know, Jewish golden sweets like that, the deities. So, right across the Parikrama Marga, the internal Parikrama Marga, next to Govinda. So one disciple in Ranjan Maharaj, but the same, took me to him. This is Mr. Sharma. He's my friend. So I offered obeisances to him. He was quite shiny. And I saw his good wife there, and his children were there. And I looked at the kid's face, and you could see the guy's nose, you know, clear in those children. It's obvious. Those are his kids. It's obvious. And they had no further children. They only had chattas. She was dressed in a very simple sari, but it was all right. By Vrishabhasi standards, it was quite okay. And she looked very pleased. So I said to him in Hindi, I go, "Whoa, aapka dharma patni hai ki nahi? This is your religious wife, is it not? Yeh aapka lala lali hai ki nahi? This is your daughter, this is your son, is it not?" And he went, "Nahi. Giriraja Dasana Putra Putri. This is Govardhan's maidservant's children." And she smiled. She smiled, a big smile. And the children went, "Oh." It's Dasa Dasa Das. And I thought. And I just said, "I whoa." This is astonishing. She was totally peaceful. The children were so happy. Giriraja Dasana Putra Putri. It was wonderful. When he said that, I thought, would there be any kalaha? Would there be any quarrel in the house? If he treats his wife as Govardhan's maidservant, would there be any quarrel? No. It should be nothing but cooperation. And the children were so nice. We play, they play all day long in the banks of Govardhan. But they are the property of Govardhan. What a wonderful attitude. That guy was slaving away, must be 10 hours a day cooking in the temple for his family. Living in a little box, probably about one-third the size of his room. That's all. He is God. And he was satisfied. What a Brahminical mind. What a Brahminical mind. What is the food for that couple? Like Jayadevi and Padmavati, their food is Shastra. They do Parvati Shiva Samba. They do Katha together. They enliven each other by Katha, by Vigyana. That was the Vedic culture. There was no question of divorce. There's no question of her looking at another man. There's no question of him looking at another lady. They were satisfied with whatever God has given. That is Vedic culture. So they were real Vrajavasis. They weren't like, you know, that the Indian High Commissioner in Bahrain is a freaking drunkard, you know, from Mantua, you know, boozer. One of the devotees said, he's a boozer. I went there and tried to get a visa, didn't work out. So, we have to understand it very carefully. Those who follow Shastra, they understand. But they go beyond. They go beyond Dharma. That's Bhautik Dharma, that's external. This Niyam. Loke Balayami Samadhya Seva Nityasa Chatur Nahi Chatur Chodana. Vibhajata Nateshu. Vibhajata Kyatsa Raghraha. Ishta Nishta. By Asu, Nivritta Nishta. That whether it is Vivasitas, sex at a proper time, Teshu of them, Vibhajata, or a proper religious marriage. Is it such a big deal? You know, marriage is once. That's Indian culture. And Surah Rahim, or accepting of ritual offerings of cups of wine. Now, let me tell you one thing before we quit. It's 9 o'clock, we gotta quit. I know it. But the cat's away, the mice will pay. A little bit. So, and the boss's representative is also not here. The better half. She's also not here. So I get to play for a few more minutes. So, there was a story. That there was a prime story that there was something about to be,
There was another one. Vendavi, Vatavi, and so on. Two brothers, Rakshasas. And they would disguise one of the brothers, Vatavi, I think, would disguise the other brother as Yajnashashka. This is food, this is meat, which is offered in sacrifice. And would present it to Rishis. And you please eat this meat. I brought this meat and this is from some yajna. You please accept it. Oh, very nice gift. Oh, very good. So if the sage would eat it, then the brother would chant a mantra, blow the belly of that, Mrityu Sanjeevani mantra would rejuvenate his brother, blow the belly of the rishi, and then they both would devour the rishi. Okay? This way both brothers were working. So they came to Agastya. And he played that trick, that my here it is some meat, sacrifice, sacrificial meat, Yajna Shishta, remnants of sacrifice, you please take it. So, the sage, from Tamil Nadu, he took that bosom, and before his brother could chant the mantra, he went, digested him. The sage was already digested the gut, Or Suragrahi, that's in Mahabharata Adi Parva. That's fun story. That this Mrityu Sanjeevani mantra Shukracharya was doing, the demons were killed by the demigods. And then Shukracharya would chant the mantra, and these demons were rejuvenated, and they died. The demigod said, we worked so hard to kill these guys, and this guy just chants a mantra and rejuvenates them. What's the use of killing these guys? We could overrun on the battlefield. So they knew, Shukracharya's got something we don't have. We want it. So they told the heavenly kingdom, Jayanta, in the song, something like that. He went to Kacha and said, look, Kacha, you're the son of Brahaspati, the son of our guru. Please go become a disciple of Shukracharya to get this vidya we needed. Kacha said, Tatastu. So he went and he fell down at the feet of Shukracharya. What gopura you come from? I am the son of Brahaspati. Oh! You're the son of Brahaspati. Wow! Really good brand new family.
When?
Okay, sure, So he became part of the household, right? He was a disciple of Shukracharya. And the daughter of Shukracharya really loved that guy, Devyani. She was mad after that guy. The guy's really good. Handsome, sweet. We had to wait until his brahmacharya is over, that's all. Right? So, in the meantime, Vrishabharva, the commander-in-chief of the demon's army, understood, there's something terrible going on here. There's something going on here. This boy is a plant of the enemy, trying to get our knowledge. When Kacha went out to get some sacrificial firewood, palash, for the yogi that Shukracharya did every day. Because Grahasa had to do pancha vidyasesh yajna, five different kinds of homa. So he had to get so much wood for that. So Kacha went out to the forest to collect the wood of various trees, right, for that yajna. Vrishabharva would jump him in the forest, kill him. Then the child would not come home, and Devyani would go, Father! 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 Your Kacha is not here. How could we live without him, Father? You should do something. So, being impelled by his daughter, then Shukracharya would think, wow. And he would divine in his mind, he's been killed in the forest. He would chant the mantra. Immediately, those animals would swallow his body, his bellies would blow up. Boom! And like, Lego, the body would come back. And Kacha would come back. And Devyani would be happy. Oh, Kacha's back. Very good. Okay? And Vrishabharva's got, Vrishabharva would get very angry, right? So after a few days, again, Kacha would, when they let down their guard, then Kacha would again go into the forest. Brahmins are fearless. I deserve Guru Dev. No? So he would go out to collect wood. Vrishabharva would jump again. This time he cut him, killed him, and distributed his body in various places of the forest so different animals would eat it. Then again, Devyani cried, Oh, Father, Your disciple Katra is not here. How can we go on? You should bring him back.
So, then Sukracharya divine, he's been killed in the forest.
So, he would chant the mantra again. The stomachs of the animals blew up, right? And it came back. Oh, Devyani's happy. Katra's back. And Vishwamitra was like,
like this, angry. So, then after a few days, he went out in the forest again.
Vishwamitra caught him,
killed him, chopped him up, burned his body, took the ashes and put it into liquor. And then went to Shukracharya.
Here, Saragrahi, here is some
remnants of Devi's prasadam. We offered it to Devi, this liquor. Please have it, my dear. Acharya.
So, Shukracharya
drank that. I don't know if it was Jack Daniels, but he drank that.
Oh, Father, where is your disciple Katra? How can we live?
Shukracharya divine. Where would Katra go? He's in my belly.
Katra, are you here? Yes, Gurudev.
He was in the Akash, in the Pratya, unmanifested form floating in the sky. Yes, Gurudev, I hear you. So, repeat after me. He chanted the mantra word by word. Do you understand it now? Yes, Gurudev, I understand. Alright. So, I'll chant this mantra, my belly will be destroyed, your body will become manifested. Then do the needful for your Gurudev. Yes, Gurudev, I understand what to do. Alright. Shukracharya chanted the mantra. Boom! His belly broke, right? And Katra came back to life, right? Katra chanted the mantra, you know, but then tick, Shukracharya came back to life. So it works. I'm done. The knowledge works. He tested it out by the grace of Vishwamitra. Very good.
All right, Gurudev, so my education is now over. You know, some of our education is over. So give Gurudev some dakshina. Very good. Then Devyani goes,
oh, really? Your brahmacharya is over. Yeah. So you can marry me.
Not a good match. Because you are the daughter of my Gurudev. You will always be in a superior position. It will not be good. Here's another. What is this? You know, and she was, you know, her desire is unfulfilled, right?
So she got very angry. Why are you angry with me? You're a family. You should have your senses under control. I'm just serving in your family. I'm just a family member. What fault do I have? I'm just presenting the facts as it is, you know? Alright, if you don't fulfill my desire, she says, then I curse you. Whatever you learn from my father will not do.
What is my fault? You are cursing me due to your sense gratification not being satisfied. Let your curse take effect. I don't care, Katra said. But if it doesn't work for me now,
it will work for whoever I teach it to.
And I curse you that you will not marry a Brahmin because you are too passionate. You are Rajasic. You need to marry a Kshatriya who is similarly Rajasic. Let that be an effect. So therefore, in the ninth canto, you say, Devyani married Vyati because of the curse of Katra. Story after another story. And Katra went back to the heavenly glass, just like Vishwamitra feared, and spilled the beans to Prasthati, his father, and, you know, the demigods lived happily ever after again. After they were killed in battlefield, they were rejuvenated. The word got leaked out. Smuggled, you know, from Los Alamos laboratory, you know, the Soviet glass, you know, the hydrogen bomb was detonated in Russia. Courtesy of the Los Alamos, you know, atomic laboratory in New Mexico, you know. what is it called? Spy versus spy, camouflage, you know, subterfuge, you know. It happens even in the Shastra, you know.
And Shukracharya was henceforth, after he was rejuvenated, henceforth, no Brahmin can drink liquor. I remember in St. Louis when I was Pujari, it was somebody wanted to do one of those Satyanarayan pujas, you know, for the Indian community. So, I didn't want to do that. So one Indian Brahmin came and said, all right, I'll do the Satyanarayan puja. I need a white dhoti and an upavita. White dhoti, that's not a big deal, you know. In the shop, pull out a white dhoti and a kurta.
But why do you need a Brahmin thread? Don't you have one? Don't you know?
What?
If you drink liquor, you can't wear one of those Brahmin threads. But you don't drink liquor, do you? You're a Brahmin.
And he goes, Of course I drink liquor. I know it's reminiscent of, you know, when you're doing it. So-called Brahmins that are doing yogis, you know. Well, if a Nuptialota can be a chicken tikka and a womanizer and a liquor drinker and a son of the first class, so can Brahmins in America, you know. The joke is that one Tamil Brahmin is something. Two Tamil Brahmins is a math instruction class. Three Tamil Brahmins is a travel agency. Four Tamil Brahmins is a queue outside the USA consulate at 4 o'clock in the morning. they had a joke for every community. I had a whole list of them. Must go send me a whole slew of them. They were really fun. I can give it to you on my computer. They're hilarious.
Now, why are they hilarious?
Why are they hilarious?
Because unless you learn to laugh at your own community, you know, the Maya, the bodily conception of life from your own community, you don't start to transcend the bodily conception of life. So all of these Brahmanas are there in Shastra, and these jokes, which are obviously written by Indian communities, they're there to try to help people to get out of the bodily conception of life. Previously, there were jokes in Sanskrit. You think some books would go to the pay? A wicked mind, eat whatever you like. Matirim dayakarum. Don't be merciful to your body. Pranam, don't love loke. In this world, it's very difficult to get the opportunity to eat other's food. Sarirani puna punaha. But bodies, that's okay. One after another, don't worry. Just eat and die. You know, like that. Eat and die. A few moments on your lips and a life on your hips. Tell me about it. It doesn't go very quick. So we're suffering like that. But this is a viparita vyanga. It means, viparita means opposite and vyanga means sarcasm. If you don't have brains to follow what the sadhus say and the shastras say, then they have to joke with you and give sarcasm to relieve their frustration. What a fool. They have no brains to understand what I'm saying. Stupid dvipad pusha, they got no brains. Joke with them, kid them, harass them to death until they understand. You know, stupid kid. You know? And basically that's this. The loke, the public, is stupid. As they say, you know, it must have been in the movies, the American movies. Where were you when God passed out the brains? Or, kid, if you had brains, you'd be dangerous, you know. There's so many jokes, you know. Hey, Radhavallabha. Hey, Gornatai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Hey, Rani. Please give us intelligence. What was wonderful about Krishna and his consort is that if you take shelter of their lotus feet, they protect you from your degraded anarthas. Tulsi Rani's name is Vidya. She gives knowledge. And Avidya, she protects her child by making the child blissfully unaware, unaccustomed, unknowledgeable about that aspect of Maya. She just protects her child. My child just doesn't know about that. It's called Avidya. Protective Vatsalya knowledge. My child just has no experience of that bad influences. That's all. How wonderful she is as a mother. You know? How wonderful. Yes, let us become Tulsi Rani's child, and she will protect us from Maya. And let us love Gornatai and Radhavallabha and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. They will protect us from ourselves. You want to know a little bit about that?
Yeah. Give me a heavy one. The last thing I say is heavy. It's the purport. Gopi Paranadana mercifully put it in the purport. 10th canto, chapter 87, verse number 39. Prayers of personified Vedas. It's a heavy shloka. Finally, I memorized the Sanskrit of Sridhara Swami's statement at the end, where he says, Dumpa Nyasa, his movements are cheating, arrogant. Dumpa Nyasa, Mishena, mixed up with that. Vanchita Jana, he's a cheater. Vanchita Jana, he is a cheater. And he's surrounded by cheaters also. Vanchita Jana. Surrounded, he's a cheater, surrounded by cheats. Okay? Go back and hit Chandra, and I will enjoy it somehow or other. I'm always thinking of that. Samuyantam, bewildered by that conception. Aharnisham, day and night. Viradito, yoga, klamer, akula. He's bewildered by the affairs that he's contriving for himself to try to enjoy. Agya, he's a fool. Agya, agya did you know? And he surrounded himself by foolish followers. Sampana, sanana, madam, who madly, intoxicatingly offer him respect. Dina nata, O Lord of the poor. Dayadidana, who is the ocean of compassion. Paramananda, who is always transcendentally happy. Prabhu, O Master, Pahima, please protect that master, myself. So it's so interesting. Sridhara Swami takes all that heavy statements and he points it at himself. But the reader understands, he ain't talking only about himself. He's talking about me. He's talking about other conditioned souls. Yeah, that's what the Acharya does. He criticizes himself to teach other people. Prabhupada said, just like a woman, you know, a mother, she wants to chastise her daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law comes from another family. She may not like to hear it, right? So the mother will chastise her daughter. He will chastise the daughter-in-law by chastising the daughter. What are you getting on my kids? But the daughter's already submissive to mother. But that's all right. It's not for the daughter's ears. It's for the daughter-in-law's ears. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Vyasadeva ki jai. Jai. Gaura Nithai Radha Balava Jagannath Bhavati Subhadra Maya. Dosi Rani. Samaveda Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare.